We thank you that you're good. We thank you for your peace. We thank you, Lord, for your presence. And we thank you, Lord, for your power. We thank you, Lord, that you are with us and that you are for us, God, as your people. I pray, Lord, that you would help me preach your word faithfully, truthfully, God, that as we open up your scriptures, Lord, it would bring illumination, that it would sharpen us and shape us, God, to be more like you, Christ Jesus. I pray salvation would be upon your house and that, Lord, for your saints, Lord, we would come to a new level, Lord, in our understanding of who you are, your will and your ways. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Give away like 3 high fives before you grab your seat. Talking about, last week was all about Jesus and his circles of relationships. Did that help anybody last week? Was that helpful? Was that good? Yeah? Because I do take encouragements. I will receive any amens that you have to offer today. But today, I figured, let's just keep talking about Jesus' model. And so today, I want to talk about Jesus and prayer. Jesus and prayer. In our family, we started something this year called our Wednesday night family worship night. Like, I'm already looking ahead to about how my daughters one day will wind up in youth, which happens on a Wednesday night. And so I'm trying, whoa, look at AI-generated Jesus right there. Praise the Lord. I'm looking ahead to the future of which my daughters will be a part of our youth ministry, and I'm excited about that. And so I'm trying to lay the foundations for, in our own family, every week on Wednesday, we do family worship night. We do a couple nights of worship. I don't play anything, so we play a track. Amen. We just play it on our Spotify, praise the Lord. I wish I was that pastor that could come up there and just lead with an acoustic guitar in front of you. I'm not that guy. I can barely hold a tune, praise the Lord. And every time I try, Montre makes sure to bring it up as a point of improvement in our Monday morning weekly. Praise God. And we do the worship, and then we take a time of prayer, like a devotional time where we're just praying. And then we also take a devotional time of, like, we go through this devotional book, and we just talk about, you know, important concepts and stories that come out of the Bible. And we got to the topic of what is prayer this past week, which is, like, I wasn't even sure what I was going to preach about. And then I had this time, and I was like, man, the pastor's kids don't have any idea about prayer. I'm preaching about prayer, praise the Lord. And so I asked them the question, like, what do you think is prayer? Like, what is prayer? I asked my 3 oldest daughters, 9, 7, 6. And their answers were the following. What is prayer? One of them said, it's when you want stuff. We can identify with that. One of the other ones said, what is prayer? When you have a boo-boo. What is prayer? When you have a boo-boo. Okay. The third one said, all right, what is prayer? And she simply said, when you want to eat. So to her, you hungry? It's time to pray. Like, how many people know I need to, like, correct that? Or, like, she's going to be in the kitchen just, like, interceding unto the Lord, just waiting for a Twinkie. Praise God. And I thought to myself, like, how can I break this down? How can I actually speak on their level? So here is my explain it like I'm 5 definition of prayer, okay? Very simply, what is prayer? Prayer is talking with God. Prayer is talking with God. Now, across the life of our church, that definition might be a little too dumbed down. For others, that revelation or that definition is like illumination. It's like, oh, that's what it is. And so I know there's some in our church that are more seasoned in their walk with Jesus. I'm not saying more seasoned in age, by the way. I'm just saying more seasoned in their walk with Jesus. Amen. But that's a good thing, amen, because we want to be, that's a reflection of a church that isn't just making disciples. It is a church that is making disciples that make disciples, amen. So I love that we constantly have an influx of newer to the faith people that are being discipled and taught by those who are a little further down the track. Amen. And so that's a good thing. My hope is the more that we talk about, specifically over the next 2 weeks, which, by the way, this is a 2-week sermon. Okay? Already setting the stage. I don't know why we're getting excited about this 2 weeks, but I receive it. Amen. My hope is that as we talk about prayer, it would be more, rather, something that you see as just a part of the fabric of your life. like eating, speaking, laughing, breathing. It would just be a part of who you are. And it would be less like something that is on a wall that says break glass in case of emergency. You feel me? And so this is a two-part sermon. Next week, I'm going to talk all about how we can talk to God, how we can speak to the Lord, how we can declare God's promises in our life, in him and through him, how we can ask of God, because God does want us to ask him sometimes. It's good to get your ask on, amen? Turn your neighbor and say, you better get your ask on. Go ahead, say, you better get your ask. Make sure you enunciate. Praise the Lord. No timer. There's something that I think we need to talk about before we talk about that next week, though, and I think it's more important that we talk about this first, that before we talk about us speaking to God in our talking with God, it's first important that we talk about how we can hear God, how we can be those who hear the Lord. Amen? There is such an important connection between faith and hearing. There's a symbiotic relationship between faith and hearing God's voice, because God speaks to build our faith, and our faith lets us hear him. Romans 10, verse 17 says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So last week we saw Jesus' model for relationships. I want to focus today on Jesus' model for prayer, specifically around hearing. Amen. Let's talk about it. I'm going to hop right in. Number one, keys to hearing God. Number one, we have to create space to hear. Very simply, we got to create space to hear. Jesus modeled this. His life hinged on prayer. It was a recurring part of his teaching. It was a dominant feature of his life. We see all kinds of scripture about this, that Jesus created intentionality, space, place for prayer. Matthew chapter 14, verse 23 says that Jesus had sent the multitudes away. He went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Amen. Now, as often as evening came, he was alone there. This is not a contradictory message from last week, by the way. Last week was all about how important it is to have your people, to have your relationships. Amen. But you need to know there is a huge and important distinction between isolation and solitude. The Bible says that those who isolate themselves seek their own agenda. So this is not an endorsement for isolation as a Christian. Christianity is not a solo sport. But what this is an endorsement for is there is times that even Jesus showed us, there's times where we are called to go into the secret place, called to go into that quiet place, called to go to the solitude place of one-on-one with the great one. No, I'm not talking about the rock. That solitude place in God where you are just there in the posture, in the position to say, Lord, let me hear you. Amen. Mark 1:35, in the evening, having risen a long while, he went out, he departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. Luke chapter 6, one of those days he went out to a mountainside to pray. He spent the night praying to God, and when morning came, he called his disciples to him, and he chose 12 of them. This he also designated as apostles. This was one of the most important early decisions that Jesus made. Who am I going to choose to be my 12? And we see there that what did Jesus do before he made that decision? He spent the night in prayer. The more important the decision, the more important prayer needs to be. If you got some important decisions that are coming up in your life, you need to be someone who knows what it is to devote yourself to hearing the word of the Lord. Amen. Jesus showed us that sometimes it's really important to remove distractions, to cut away. In another place where Jesus teaches on praying, he says, shut the door behind you. Get to a quiet place to pray. This isn't always easy. It requires you intentionally bringing order into your life, making some changes in your life. Amen? I think about even for our time as a family. On Wednesday night, when we do this time of prayer, it's amazing how every distraction rises to the surface in that moment, especially with 3 kids under 10, praise the Lord. 4 kids under 10, praise God. And when we there, what we're there, I tell you what, you can't model long prayer times with kids that age. So we're trying to do like age-appropriate time in prayer and modeling what it looks like to be still, to listen to God. But I tell you what, even in that, in like the 5 minutes that we're aiming for of just being in prayer, I'm like, okay, Jude, you gotta sit on the couch by yourself. Monroe, you gotta sit on that chair by yourself. Like, I have to separate them. I have to make changes. I gotta like remove distractions. Parents, who knows what I'm talking about? Amen. You feel the blight. How much more true is it in your own life where you got to say things and speak to things in your life? Okay, phone, you're going to go on notifications off, okay? That thought that I've been thinking about work, about my business, no, I'm going to set you on the shelf for now because this is my solitude time. Jesus was trying to teach the disciples that there's an importance to creating this space, this solitude, and this stillness to hear God. Jesus took times to get alone with the Father. Jesus had his prayer spot. You may not be able to have a mountain in your backyard. Jesus went up to the mountains. I love that. Who loves going up into the mountains? Who's a mountain person in here? Maybe for you, you're like a water person. Who's like a water person? Take me to the river. I will swim. Amen. Who's like that? I wonder, when's the last time you found yourself in your prayer spot? Your prayer, maybe for you it's a prayer closet. Who's a closet person? Hallelujah. That's a weird way to put it, isn't it? I'm not touching it. When's the last time you were in your prayer spot? Hey, can we talk? Do you even have a prayer spot? Do you even have a place? Like, isn't God everywhere? Yeah, he is, but the Bible talks often about us seeking the Lord. I'm not going to tell you where my prayer spots are in Richmond because you're going to steal them. But I've told this before, like, I used to have a regular prayer spot when I lived in Virginia Beach, and it was right off Oceana Drive, and it was this place called the Flame of Hope. Me and I would go there sometimes with a couple buddies. Sometimes I'd go there by myself, and I renamed it to not be the Flame of Hope, and I changed the name of it to I'm going to the Hope of Flame. And I would come there, and I would come expecting. And funny story, one time I was there, and I was praying, and it was, like, late at night. And this, it's, like, connected to, like, the Air Force Base right there off Oceana. And I didn't realize that when it's dark outside, you're not supposed to go there. And so I remember one time I was out there, and I was praying, and I was there, and I was by myself. And I guess I must have been yelling, and all of a sudden, in the darkness of night, like, 10 military police cars pulled up, lights blazing, guns drawn. And they said, sir, get to the ground, get to the ground. I was freaked out. I hopped on the ground and said, do you have any weaponry on me? And I said, sir, I have a pocket Bible right on my back pocket. And literally they were like, what? I was just praying. And they audibly started laughing at me. Praise the Lord. Well, you have me. You want to go to church? Like, God is everywhere, but the Bible also shows us that, look at Jeremiah 29, verse 12. It says, those who will call upon me and go and pray to me, I will listen to you, says the Lord. And you will seek me, and you will find me when you search for me with all your heart. So there is something beyond the, like there is a reality that the Bible talks about pray without ceasing. Like, there should be something about your life that is just like, that's a prayerful person. Yes. But also both and. There should be something about your life where you're saying, hey, I'm cutting away. I'm seeking the Lord. I'm going to be in his presence. I want to hear from him. Because when you do, you will find him. Amen? We're going to come back to that. Second thing, as we talk about seeking the Lord, is that you need to know that you can grow in your understanding of prayer. You can grow in your understanding of prayer. Like, I know I made a joke about it earlier with our middle schoolers that were still in here, but I was like, I don't want to be that guy that, like, as he gets older, becomes like curmudgeon-y and just talks about how annoying young people are. I don't want to be that. But does anybody kind of feel like, like, not everybody who's super young knows how to talk to humans? Did anybody, not you guys, not rural youthers, not the high schoolers, the middle schoolers. The middle schoolers. And so for me, like, I'm keen to want to teach my children how to have a conversation with an adult. Like, I'm keen to that, like, when you want to talk to me, if I'm in the middle of a conversation, please do not keep saying, "Dad, dad, 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 dad." No. Just let me know you're here, and I will intentionally ignore them to let them know that, like, hey, you don't just get to cut into every conversation you want to be a part of. You feel me? Okay, that one's for free. But I want them, and I'm teaching them, that, and I'm showing them that like, you can grow in your understanding of how to have a conversation. It is natural for kids to learn how to talk. And the way that gets better is not by me, the dad, learning how to speak toddler. The way that gets better is toddler learns how to speak dad. We're the toddlers. God is dad. And so I want to grow to be able to hear how he wants to speak. Now, if you don't know how to talk with God, it doesn't make you bad. It doesn't make you unworthy. It just means you need someone to show you and teach you. Jesus knew that his disciples had a long ways to go in understanding even everything of how God operated. In Acts chapter 1, we see this time whereby Jesus is about to forever depart from them. This is after the resurrection of Jesus. And in Acts 1 verse 6 says that his disciples who've been walking with them, who would have known God's will and ways better than anybody else, they know Jesus is about to depart. It says they gathered around him and said, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" And in verse 7, Jesus says to them, "It is not for you to know the times or the dates that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And after he said this, Jesus was taken up right before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. In their mind, they had some things that they needed to learn. They also had a lot that they needed to unlearn. Like, they had this understanding that, like, the Messiah's rulership was going to be like an earthly kingdom in their time. They thought that's what the Messiah had come to establish. And Jesus is like, "Oh, you got a lot to learn. By the way, I'm out. But don't worry, the Holy Spirit is going to come." When it comes to us in our life with talking with God, I think a lot of us, we have a lot of learning to do, but a lot of us have a lot of unlearning to do. And I think so many people, depending on your background in God, whether or not you come from a more orthodox, maybe you come from a Catholic, and you come into like a church like ours, like there's probably some hang-ups that you're bringing into it. I know a lot of people who don't even have this revelation that they can talk to God directly. Friends, the veil has been torn. You have direct access to the Lord. You can talk to God whenever you want. And when you do, he hears you and you can hear him. Amen. They had to unlearn their religiosity. They had to unlearn broken interpretations of Scripture. They had to unlearn some traditions that were actually supposed to be a shadow that was always meant to point people to who Jesus was in the end. I think so many of us have a lot to unlearn about maybe how we were raised as far as how we relate to God, how we can interact with the Holy Spirit. But Jesus, as he's leaving, he's saying, "Don't worry. The Holy Spirit will come." The Holy Spirit has come to teach us all things. That's what it says in John chapter 14, verse 26. It says, "When the Father sends the Advocate as my representative," that is, the Holy Spirit, "he will teach you everything, and he will remind you of everything that I have told you." So the Holy Spirit has actually, maybe we don't have an understanding about hearing God. Can I tell you, you have the Holy Spirit, and one of the Holy Spirit's responsibilities is that he's going to teach you. Not only will he teach you, he will guide you. John 16, verse 13, it says, "When he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth." Amen. There are so many people who are starving for truth. They have been fed lies.
And so for us, I have come to realize we need to be people who know how to bring truth with grace. But also, maybe when you're not around them, how about you just start praying that the Holy Spirit would get a hold of their life? That you pray the Holy Spirit would begin ministering to them. That you'd begin to pray the Holy Spirit would begin teaching them. I have Christians, not in our church, who will be like, Pastor, I saw so-and-so post this. Can you believe it? How about you just start praying for them that the Holy Spirit would begin to teach them all truth? Amen. Don't worry, I'll start talking more about that in November. We think, like the disciples would have, that it would have been better for Jesus to stay. Jesus says, you have the advantage. I'm going away. But the advantage is that the Holy Spirit will come. He will teach you and he will guide you. Amen? I love this. At the end of Acts 1, they cast lots to figure out who will replace Judas. They're trying to do it in their own thinking, in their own planning. But in Acts 2, they essentially voted, by the way, Acts 1. They voted, all right, well, who's going to replace Judas? We got to fill in a spot. Let's take a vote. Amen? And the church has been voting ever since. Sorry, not this church. Why? We don't see another example of voting happen in the scriptures from that point on. Why? Because that's Acts 1. What happens in Acts 2? The Holy Spirit comes, and we never see lots cast again any other time in the Bible. Because why? Now the people of God are filled with the guiding, the leading, and the teaching of the Holy Spirit on the inside. Amen? Which leads me to my third point in hearing God. The Holy Spirit helps us hear. The Holy Spirit helps us hear. We don't talk enough about how Jesus had the Holy Spirit. And so hearing God is tied to our relationship with the Holy Spirit. He was Spirit-filled, he was Spirit-led, he was Spirit-dependent. Jesus was born of the Spirit. Joseph was not his father. That's our Christmas message this year, praise the Lord. Maury Povich. No, but Jesus was born of the Spirit. Connect that thought with Romans chapter 8, verse 15. It says that the Spirit you received does not make you slaves, so that you would live in fear again. No, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and we cry, Abba, Father, and the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. So the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, testifies to you that you are an adopted son. It's testifying of your identity. It's testifying of your familiar relationship with God. It's testifying that as a son or as a daughter, you have the ability to hear from the Father. Jesus not only was born in the Spirit, he was filled in the Spirit. Just like we had baptisms today, Jesus was baptized. And after it says that Jesus was baptized, it says that the Holy Spirit descended upon him in the form of a dove, and an audible voice from the Lord declared, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." When you know what it is to hear, to be led, to be taught, and to be guided by the Holy Spirit, you will come to know the affirming voice of the Lord that wants to bring an intimate relationship with you. That's why we turn the lights down. A sense of intimacy is going to wash over you, that you would be able to turn down them harsh fluorescents. Praise the Lord, and they're taking it so literally. When you learn to hear the voice of God, you're going to hear the Father speak pleasure over your life. He loves you. You're going to hear how pleased God is with you. You're going to hear how much he wants you, he desires you, how he cares for you. You're going to hear how much you matter to him when we learn how to hear the voice of God. And lastly, my last point is, hearing from the Lord, we see that Jesus waited on the Lord. Jesus waited on the Lord. Matthew chapter 36, again, so much from last week kind of informs this week, but it was that moment in time in the Garden of Gethsemane where Jesus was with his inner three, and I joked about how they kept falling asleep on him, right? But it says that three times he went and checked on him, so we got to admit that was a long prayer sesh. But he's there. And it wasn't about three times catching him sleeping. It was about three times that Jesus intentionally sought the will of the Father. saying, if it's possible, let this cup pass me, but let your will be done. And he didn't get the answer he was looking for the first time. He didn't get the answer he was looking for the second time. He didn't get the answer he was looking for the third time. But yet he still says, not my will, but your will. Jesus modeled what it was to wait on the Lord. Amen? To wait on the Lord. Psalm 37, verse 34 says, wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt you to inherit the land. When he speaks, let him lead. He knows what you need before you even bring it up. He desires that you still bring it up, but he already knows. We'll talk about that next week. But do you know what it is to wait on the Lord? Because I believe there are some conversations that you will never be privy to until you know what it is to wait on God. It says that those who wait on the Lord and keep his way, he shall exalt to inherit the land. We had a waiting on the Lord moment in our own family where about a month ago, my 2009 Toyota Prius blew up. Praise God. 2009. You want to know how many miles I had on that thing? 350,000 miles on that thing. Amen. Pretty awesome. Because you know, not only does God like bless you as you trust him with stuff, but also like he also keeps the stuff running longer when you trust him with stuff. Who knows what I'm talking about? Like that car lasted longer than it should have. I came to find, and it was the hybrid battery that ended up failing, and came to find out, I think last thing I read was like they're only meant to last like 150 to 200,000 at the most. My thing lasted 300, like 2x the length of time. Praise God. And it blew up, and I was like, what am I gonna do? And you know, like looked and see how much it's gonna cost to replace it. It's gonna cost $5,000 to replace it, or I could spend like $2,000 for like an aftermarket battery and spend 9 hours on YouTube trying to do it myself. Praise the Lord. And for those of you that know me, probably not a good idea. But I was like, my wife was like driving me places and to the office for a while, and that got old real quick. Can I just talk? Can I be honest? I love you, babe. We gotta change this. And I'm like, right, babe, I'm gonna buy this battery. Like, you know, I was trying to figure out, should I buy a new car? I was just like, I don't want a car payment. And I was about to make a decision. I was about to pull the trigger, and my wife said, hey, before you decide, why don't we wait on the Lord? I was like, why don't we wait? This is my wife that said this. Husbands, fellas, after choosing Jesus, the most important decision you'll ever make is your wife. So you better choose wisely. Choose somebody that hears from the Lord. Can I get an amen from all the husbands? That was an easy brownie moment, boys. Take advantage. And Megan stopped and said, babe, I think we need to wait on the Lord. God's got us. And I said, yeah, but I'm the one that's hitting these car drives together. And without us even thinking about it, her parents came in from South Dakota. They were with us that very weekend. This was like a couple weeks ago. And we never even brought up the car. And we were just having lunch. And they said to us, hey, by the way, you know, we got this third car that's just been sitting in our garage, and do you guys need it? And we literally looked at each other, and we were like, I mean, if you're not doing anything with it, like, yeah, sure. There's power when you wait on the Lord. You get to see God's best for your life when you know what it is to wait on the Lord. You get to hear him more clearly when you know how to wait on the Lord. You get to truly discover his voice of pleasure for you. You get to hear his plans. They are better plans than your plans. They're a better way than your way. And so I ask you, when's the last time you waited on the Lord? Worship team, can you come on up here? We are going to get interactive a little bit. We're going to practice this because you can be somebody who, quote unquote, we're not wrapping up, by the way, guys. Like, we actually have time. If you guys got stuff to do, I'd love to invite you to be a part of this moment. This is, like, early in the service. I mean, if you really got somewhere to go. Oh, you guys are just leaving. You hate the sermon? Okay, never mind. See ya. I'm speaking to our leaders. Don't worry. You could, quote unquote, like, be somebody who talks with God all your life and still not necessarily feel like you have a connection with God. Because in your understanding of talking with God, you've just been saying stuff. The connection, I think, really comes when you know what it is to close the door on your stuff and just get in the presence of God. Psalm 46:10 reads, "Be still and know that I am God." Can I tell you something? There's stuff that we need to say. There's stuff God wants us to say. I'm going to talk about it next week, but today, there is stuff God wants to say to you. God is still speaking, and God has a word for you. God has encouragement for you. God has a plan that he wants to reveal to you. God has an answer to that big decision that you need to make. God has a right way in the fork in your life. And God has words of affirmation that you have been starving for, and you're searching from some man, some woman to give to you. In a hole that could only ever be filled by the Lord.